following email was sent 7 years ago this month. Well, friends, I'm stuck in New York. Was supposed to be on a flight to Atlanta yesterday afternoon, but this blizzard has rolled through like a motherfucker. I got rescheduled to a flight today, but that was canceled. The airports are closed, and I don't know what flight I'm on because Delta's website doesn't work, and I've been on hold waiting to talk to someone for an hour and 40 minutes. I am now contacting Delta through Twitter, believe it or not, and actually got a response. I'm like a caged beast in this apartment. Truly an awful situation. Just learned that Paul is still stranded here, and when he found out I was here, he texted me back, "Thank God alive, I'm not alone on this glacier," which about sums things up.
What a brat, right? I mean...
Wait, you?
Yeah.
Why?
That was me a long time ago. Because stuck in New York, first of all, it's not like you're stuck marooned in some out-of-nowhere town.
And you were living in New York at this time.
I was living in New York. I was trying to get to Atlanta, where I believe my now wife, then girlfriend, lived at the time.
I see.
So I was legitimately upset about that.
That's stressful.
But still, I look back at that and I'm like, come on, buddy. Like, you're in New York. Stop whining. You know,
right.
Truly an awful situation. Not really. You know what I mean?
I guess not. You were in your home, too. You just couldn't get out of your home.
Yeah.
Which is different than, I think, being stranded when you're trying to get home.
That's true.
I got stranded in Atlanta once, trying on Delta.
What are the odds?
Trying to come, apparently frequent.
Well, that's
actually
true, actually. There's
it's
a lot
actually
of,
very
yeah.
common. And had a full-scale hysterical crying meltdown in the Atlanta airport.
Yeah. So that sounds like an awful situation.
Yeah.
Well, when you're stuck in an airport, it's different than being stuck in your home. Because you have more amenities in your home.
You know, I'm saying my thing was worse.
Right. That's fair. Can I also say one thing?
Yes.
If you're ever stuck, can't get in touch with the airlines, try them on Twitter.
I know.
That actually
I
works.
I hate that's become standard for getting people.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say that's a little tip for people out there.
I think people know.
All right, so that was a useless email is what we're saying.
It wasn't a useless email. Is that what you thought the point of the email was?
Well, I thought that was just a little nugget, a little added bonus.
Okay.
All right, fine.
Start reading.
When did you send this?
The following emails were sent 5 years ago this week. Stop reading. Just read them online.
The following email exchange was sent 5 years ago this week. This is Matt Straub to Nicole Dressbell. You said you record a podcast with multiple people talk where everyone is just talking into a Mac. Is this correct? If so, do you have a link where I can listen? Response from Nicole. Into a mic. We have one mic, but it's recorded on a Mac. And there's a website link.
Yep.
Wow.
I feel like I was so
what
happy when I saw that.
Yeah.
I know. It's also, because part of you would be like, well, it was a long time ago. It's like, it was 5 years ago.
Not
most
that long
people
ago.
Knew you needed a mic to record a podcast.
Yeah. And like, that's a thing that I'll do. Like, I could have just looked that up and done the research. But I was like, let me ask someone first because that will be easier. And I don't even think like, well, I'm going to waste some time out of Nicole's day by like making her answer this to me. And that is a pretty terse response, by the way. So much
like
tone.
It's recorded on a mic, not a Mac.
You might as well have written dummy after mic.
A little bit. I think it was implied.
Yeah.
What's also
heavily.
Funny is I would have thought if I had to guess today which one of us knew more about podcasting 5 years ago, I would have guessed you.
I was totally in the dark 5 years ago.
I guess so.
I've learned a bit since then. Just a bit. Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guest digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy. I am Matt Straub.
And I'm Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week is executive producer of Strong Opinions, Lucy Held at Refinery 29. Please welcome Elisa Kreisinger.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Did I do that right, your name? Did
you
do that right?
Yeah, you did. Great. And Strong Opinions, Lucy Held is a podcast and a video series. If anyone wants feminist content to encourage themselves that they're not crazy.
Yeah. Very valuable.
Yeah.
Very valuable. Yeah. Hey, Matt, I noticed you made a little edit.
Did I? Yeah.
To the opening.
Yeah, I left out one of the words that we normally say.
I would say.
Say
the word that makes it like a hard intro.
Yeah.
You left out gold.
Yeah, I like to kind of edit that one. I'm
but
just
now,
playing with it.
But gold references mining. Like we're mining for comedy gold.
Oh, but see.
But now we're just mining for comedy.
which is kind of
honestly, I
do.
Know you think it sounds less stupid, but I think that sounds stupider.
Interesting. All right, I'll take that note and consider it for the next episode.
Yeah, great. Okay. I'm so excited to see what happens. I really shouldn't be giving you shit because I refuse to read it myself. So that's fair.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll take it.
Elisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been mining for comedy gold in my inbox all morning, and I'm just so excited to finally share the gold I found.
God bless. You are also, you came in locked and loaded with that comedy gold stuff, and I do think you are the source of Matt's insecurity.
I feel terrible
100%,
about it.
100%.
What's funny is that when I read it, I was like, I identify with this. Like, I There's comedy gold in everyone's inbox.
No, I've totally backed off of it. There's no comedy gold anymore.
You're going to come back.
We'll see.
I think you'll come back.
To be determined.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Elisa, we're going to start with the segment that we always start with. You looked so surprised when I said your name.
I thought you were done.
See ya. All right. Well, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. See you later.
Is this because the recording very harshly started with me informing you not to speak during the cold open?
Yes. It might have been.
Great. That's fair.
First impression.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with the segment we always start with, which is email roulette.
Email roulette.
So what's going to happen is you're going to pick a person you would really rather not send a goofy email to.
Okay.
And then Matt and I are going to help you write the email. And if you get a question wrong later in the show, you're going to send it.
Okay.
Do you have anyone in mind?
Great.
Do I have to publicly say who it is?
You can allude to the nature of the relationship.
Idea. Okay. I recently bought a home. It was a stressful experience. And I would like to write an email to someone who was involved in that experience as I'm now processing it in therapy 2 weeks later.
Oh, God bless. Yes. Great. Please open a compose.
Okay. Open a compose.
Yeah, yes. I know.
No, that's the term. Open a compose, please.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Opened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I have to clarify a little bit without clarifying too much.
Yeah, great.
Like, was this person on your, like, side of
Are there sides in the home buying process?
That's a great philosophical question. I bought a home recently, too. That's a great question.
I feel like you're on your own side.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not to be too political. I'm funny.
But you're I don't know that I would call this political.
Not to be a downer about it, but really there's like no side. Like there's the side of capitalism in
that's
the home
true.
Buying experience. And that's it.
Well, because during the process, you feel in some ways like your real estate agent is on your side. But again, right? Like
she's the salesperson.
Yeah,
there's
a salesperson. And then once it's over, you're not really friends anymore, it turns out.
Oh, actually, you know what I mean? We maintained friends with our realtor.
Sometimes.
but she was probably the only person. But yeah, they are a salesperson at the end of the day and just there to make a deal. It's very stressful. I think like home buying experience, it's like a Venn diagram of all, like you're buying into the system because you're buying into the government. They know where you live. You have to pay property taxes. Like that is why home buying existed in like the 20s to get you to buy in to a system so that you don't quit your job or start a union or like rise up. That was like the purpose of it. And why like home ownership was so encouraged in the 20s. And then like now it's just you're buying into the system. It's a ton of money.
Yep.
Your biggest investment. And it's how people build wealth in this country. So it's very loaded. And emotionally it's loaded because it's your home.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very emotional about my home purchase still.
Really?
A few months later. I don't know. It was intense. It's a crazy time, Nicole.
You also did it long distance.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you not want people to know that? Why are you being weird about that?
No, I don't know. I was just thinking about, did I really do it long distance?
You lived here and you bought a home in another state.
That's true.
That's true.
No, I guess that would be a long distance. Yeah. I thought you were saying I was transacting. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. But so, do you think you have enough, Nicole, to start this email?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great.
Great.
Oh, right. That's what we were doing.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So should we open write this email?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So two.
Great. Yes.
Name redacted.
Yes.
Two, name redacted. Subject line.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
I got a lot of great.
Wow.
Great.
Okay. That's just getting right to it. I like it.
I mean, no, let's delete that. Let's step back.
Maybe therapy overflow.
I've been thinking a lot. Or maybe that's the opening sentence. Can we come back? Maybe we come back to the signature once we understand what our because you know it's really the thesis statement of the email, and I want to make sure we make, you know, we come into someone's inbox once. I want to make
that's true.
That I want to make it clickable.
Yes, and also I do think subject lines are really stressful.
They are.
Yeah.
Really stressful.
Yep.
I've been thinking a lot about the experience, working together, our experiences working together. How's this?
This is great.
By the way, I just want to say you've already had more input than 90% of guests do.
I know.
Into
I was thinking
email,
that too.
Into
you do. Okay, well, you guys do it for me.
We're going to need a little bit more.
Yeah, we normally puppet the guest entirely on this part, but we do need a little more guidance from you in this case. So okay. This is good. This is
okay. Good. So you said, if you're okay talking about it, you said this has come up in therapy recently.
Yeah.
What is specifically that this person is maybe accountable for? Not like the things they did, but emotionally accountable for. What are they emotionally accountable for?
You guys both
do I answer?
You guys both just looked at me.
Well, I pointed at him.
I did not point at you, Matt.
I think I pointed at you to be like, I nailed it, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it looked like I was like, can you answer for me?
Yeah. I would love someone to answer for me in this situation.
Yeah, right.
To tell me what someone else is emotionally accountable for. So what did they do to me?
Yes.
I mean, I think that they were just doing their job, but I think emotionally I felt a little bit ignored, unseen, unheard.
Wow.
The stereotypical things you talk about in therapy, right?
Yes.
Like you want to be recognized for not only having feelings, but like trying to negotiate them in real time while making a purchase.
Yep.
I think is hard.
Yes.
And I think like when you, I think women / I won't speak for all women, but like, you're like, wait, am I crazy? I don't want you to think I'm crazy. This is a big business deal. Like, it shouldn't be emotional.
Right.
So I felt like they were accusing me of being a little bit crazy when really I was just like, no, here are the facts. Like, every email is bullet pointed. I can bring them up for you. Got bullet points. Like, here, it's just like, this is what's in the contract. This is this.
Right.
Line 106A. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I just wonder if like that didn't go over well, because like there, you know, sometimes you can get too involved in the process and people think like you're doing the job for them. Were you a first time home buyer?
Yes, I was.
So were you, I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of questions.
Tons. Yeah.
And how?
I just didn't ask them. I just kind of went with it. I'm half kidding. I'm half kidding.
So that's why people didn't like me.
Well, but that's
you just shut up and took it.
Well, kind of. I mean, I don't know which step of the process we're talking about, but I just were like, okay, I'm signing this now. Here we go. You know what I mean? Like, you get kind of exhausted at some point in the home buying process and just like, okay, I guess this is how it goes.
What about when you were negotiating over like credits? Like, you've got your price. You like, you found, first of all, you found the house. You were like, this house is okay.
Yeah.
And then you got the house
only
after.
Okay.
Well, because there's this illusion of like this dream home.
Right.
Which it's such a crapshoot what home you actually end up in. Because I don't know about in Atlanta. Can we say where you live?
Yes, we can.
On Wisteria Lane, 224. 224 Wisteria Lane. In Atlanta, Georgia, 040. No. It's a crapshoot. You go to open houses. Your offer is accepted. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we went over 4th of July, and it was one of the first houses we saw. And I think we were the first people to see it. And we were just like, okay, let's make an offer. And they said, okay. And it was like, oh, wow, that happened. Okay.
Right.
Wow. Very fast. Yeah.
See, for us, it was a year. We went to open houses over a year and kept getting outbid.
Mine was like a week. Yeah. But anyways, I was thinking while you're talking.
Email.
You said something about bullet points.
Mm.
I think we.
It should just be a list. The whole email should just be a list.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah. So I know you were just doing your job. That was something you said.
That's what I was thinking. So But first bullet point.
Okay.
I know you were just doing your job.
Well, yeah.
No. It's just going to be a bullet point. There will not be salutations, and there will not be a closing. Everything is going to be bullet pointed. Great.
Okay.
So it's a list. This is just a list.
Exactly. The email is just a list.
But,
I know you're just doing your job.
Yeah, but I felt.
But I felt. Nope. New bullet point.
Oh.
But I felt is a new bullet point. Agreed.
No comma.
No.
New bullet point after, but I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Ignored.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Ignored.
So, all right. So new
this
bullet
is,
point.
No, now you're now you're just doing a, wow, Ben came hard at a no.
Now
you're doing a tone poem. So no, go back to the line. This is going to be on the same. Oh,
see, I wonder if we indent it.
Yeah,
and make
really
a sub.
That's really beautiful.
Sub point.
Yes, that's really beautiful.
So we have indented now. It's like an outline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know you're just doing your job, but I felt. And now let's list some of the things you felt. So as you said, invisible. Mm-hmm.
You said ignored.
Ignored.
Like an inconvenience.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I don't think I articulated that, but that does ring
true.
Yeah.
It was as a woman who would have behaved exactly like you in this situation and who thinks you were entirely within your rights.
What was it again?
Like an inconvenience.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. It resonated so much.
Yeah, clearly.
Can we say?
Convenience. Oh, that is so true.
As though my prior use of bullet points was not appreciated.
Mm. As though, well, how about my organizational skills?
No,
I don't
organizational
want
skills is great.
But I shouldn't get like a cookie just for being organized, because it's my job as a buyer, right?
The idea that you shouldn't get a cookie just for being organized on all occasions just cut me so deep. So it's your call, but I'm processing something right now because so much of my identity is built on the idea that you should.
You should get a cookie.
Anytime that you're organized, yes.
I mean, that is true, but then like...
Because fucking people are buying houses on 4th of July without even trying. So if you're going above and beyond, you should get a cookie.
But he's a guy.
I did come at you.
But you're a guy, though. I feel like you get more props in this sitch. We were also two women, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So not only do we have two pay gaps, but we had like two fuckovers at every turn.
Right.
Yeah. But we're not victims.
Okay. God bless.
By it.
Oh, great.
We were
That's
highly organized. Point. I am not a victim.
Yes.
Sorry for the levels there.
Sorry. But I felt not a victim. Yeah. This bullet point is not a victim.
You accused me of like making a tone poem. You're tone poeming this right now, I think.
Yeah, well, because I think
one indentation, you've totally flipped
your
approach.
I was just going to say the one indentation really was a game changer for me.
Okay.
You added one yourself.
Well,
you added,
I was riffing off of your, yeah.
But you didn't put in the organization.
Oh, you're right. My organization.
Just write my organization. That's it. Right. Don't finish the thought. My organization. Great.
It's like my nonprofit.
Yes, exactly.
Buyinghouses.org.
Yes, exactly.
Homebuying.org. Homebuyingfordummies.org. My organization.
This is a really easy way to read an email. Like, I feel like we have found something here.
Really,
I'm looking back at this, and this is very easy to read.
Wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Bullet points, guys.
In conclusion,
in a bullet?
I think it's maybe a new bullet.
A new bullet back to the left indentation.
Oh, back to the left. Yes. Okay,
oh,
yes.
Great.
Okay.
There we are.
In conclusion?
Yeah, and then back to the indentation.
Yes,
back
of
over.
Course, of course, of course, of course, of course.
Yeah, now we're back to the right.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. I think that's called like a sub-point. Sub-bullet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so in conclusion, sub-bullet.
What is our conclusion here? I'm not what clear
is
at all.
Well,
see
what is
above.
It? Is, okay. Yeah. Is the purpose? Great. Yep, that's it. See above.
In conclusion, see above. In conclusion, see, I want to say thank you so much for paying attention, but I hear my dad listening over my shoulder and he's like, why would you thank someone for reading an email? Like, why would you ever do that? And just like, to soften it.
I know.
To be
like, I know.
Approachable. I'd also add like 3 exclamation points.
Yep. I know.
But we're not going to do that here. This is business.
Yes.
Would you do that? Would you make like an exclamation point to soften it?
I wouldn't.
Have you ever thought about softening an email?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm an email diplomat.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah. I don't think I send a lot of tony emails, but though sometimes when we read
you're
for a cold
one,
open here,
when you were stuck in New York.
Yeah. Well, that was just bratty though, again. I don't think I send a lot of confrontational emails. Mm. You know what I mean?
But I think... And maybe I'm making something gendered that's not. I think for women, the vast majority of emails we send, we're concerned, could be confrontational. Even if there's like no reality in which that would be the case.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was kind of confrontational when you called me a dummy about my podcasting question, but that's it.
Did I say dummy or did you say dummy?
No, you implied it. You implied it.
Wow. And here's what I would say. All that I did in the email that I sent to you was not include a greeting. And just clarify the point and then provided you with the information. And yet on
true.
This very podcast, we implied that I had a tone problem and was being mean.
Wow.
See?
Two huge revelations on this podcast. Bullet points and that.
Yes.
So far.
Game changing. So what is the conclusion?
That women need to soften their emails because he's going to think that they're mean.
Great.
Or, you
in
know,
conclusion.
Right? That's what I learned.
I meant what's the conclusion of the email you're writing.
I know.
Okay, great. In conclusion, women need to soften their emails. Yep.
Yeah. In conclusion, I feel the need to soften this.
Yes.
So as to not seem like a bitch and have you write me off and talk about this to your coworkers.
Right. Yep.
But I'm not going to. How about that?
That's good.
Because then you're acknowledging it, but you're saying I'm not going to go down that path.
Right. It's kind of passive aggressive, I guess.
What's also so funny about this is even if you did end with something friendly and lovely, the rest of the email is so fucking batshit that there wouldn't be anything you could do to combat
that. By the way, I'm trying to put myself in the mind
also,
of a listener.
I want this first line bulleted.
I don't think a listener has any clue what we've written. Like,
no, but we're going to read it back.
We're going to read it back. I think we have to.
Later in the show.
Are we going to? So I've been thinking a lot about our experiences working together.
That's a bullet. Or can we center it?
I think we've lost all credibility.
Let's just center it.
Center it. What is this, AOL?
Yes.
All right. I don't even know how to center.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's great.
Okay. Does that come up centered? We'll see. I guess we'll see when we send it.
And I'm just going to underline it.
Oh,
great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is really beautiful. Let's set it aside. Okay. We'll be coming back to it later.
All right.
It's time for a new segment called Unsubscribed Secrets.
Unsubscribe Secrets.
So, we're going to help you unsubscribe from an email list you've been looking to get out of but haven't bothered, but only exchange for you telling us a secret.
Okay.
So to find an email, and this is, we've got a lot of fun facts, fun new things coming up on the show that are segments Ben came up with, inspired by some fun tips sent to us by a friend of the show, Nick Douglas. I feel like a shout out is warranted. Do you mind sharing credit, Ben?
I don't.
Okay, good. Great.
I feel like,
I don't know if I believe it.
I feel like that shout out has already just had too much around it now. I usually just give someone a shout out. It's like, we're giving that person a shout out.
Softening it.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're going to search label.
Okay.
And then a colon.
Mm-hmm.
And then an up caret.
An up caret. Wow.
Isn't that what that's called? And then unsub.
Unsub. Okay.
Search.
And I just read you what comes up?
Let's do that.
I mean,
We haven't done a secret part of it yet.
We haven't, but
I feel like this itself might be a secret. It's just finding out what people are subscribed to is very revealing, right?
I like that. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going in a new direction, and I'm looking at Ben exclusively for approval. Thank you so much, Ben.
I'm going to give you a shout out.
Thanks. Please do. Please, a soft shout out.
A soft one.
Okay, so what are some of these things that came up? A lot of abortion stuff.
I'm on a listserv called Women Action in the Media, which does talk about this one, for example, says history of abortion on TV. WHAM is awesome. It's a listserv of women who work in media and are trying to navigate stuff or get ideas for story pitches. And
so we'll go ahead and unsubscribe from that one then, it sounds like.
Well, I don't want to unscribe. Can I unsubscribe from L.L. Bean, give delightful dog walks instead? Just because the WHAM one is like kind of work related?
No, I wasn't being serious. I wasn't being serious.
And he definitely was not being serious. Just looking very quickly, what I see is L.L. Bean, Patagonia, Eileen Fisher,
Us Weekly,
Madewell, Land's End. Like there's a very, I think we know your wardrobe for the next couple seasons.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't shop from any of those. I bought like one bathing suit off of Land's End once.
That's what happens.
I don't know how they get your email, really, but I do subscribe to unroll.me, which is a great service. And they ping you. They're like, hey, all these people pinged your inbox. Do you want to unsubscribe from them? And they let you unsubscribe. I clearly haven't done it in a while because I don't go into my personal inbox. Do you guys find...
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I'm just looking at the date stamps on these. Mm-hmm. And these are all like subscription emails you've gotten today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's too much.
Now you said something interesting there. I don't go into my personal inbox.
Yeah.
That's
do you guys feel that? Like, do you only... Because for me, it's like personal. Only my work inbox.
Oh, I see.
Like so, I'm in Refinery 29 all day, every day.
Okay, gotcha.
No,
personal.
I barely use my work inbox when I'm at work. I think there's a certain attitude of like, well, if you wanted me to see it, you should have sent it to my real email. I don't know why you sent it to my work email.
Are you in your work inbox all day?
I do for work. I do use it for work, but that's it.
But then you go to your personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I check it. I'm just not. I actually. Here's an interesting thing. So you'll notice on my Gmail product plug, if you want to sponsor inbox, Google/Gmail.
I mean, it's always Gmail. I don't know that they... We've had Yahoo one time, right?
All right.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Just saying it'd be a nice plug.
Yeah.
You're right.
Trying to give a nice shout out there,
yeah,
Nicole.
You're right. Okay.
Shut it down.
All right. Well.
Anyway, you'll notice on the top of my Gmail inbox, I have this thing called How I Handle Email. It's a vacation setting. And it's on my personal inbox. And what I just do is I tell people, like, I check and respond to email twice a day, usually once in the morning and once at night. If something is urgent, please send an email with the word urgent in the subject line. If you have a question related to a production, an upcoming shoot, recording session regarding the podcast, please chat me. In the meantime, you can check out my latest video here, hyperlinked. And you can subscribe to my award-winning podcast, Strong Opinions Loosely Held, here. Thank you for understanding.
Wait, is this on your personal email or your work email?
So this is on my personal email because I don't check it very often. And I don't want people to be offended that I haven't responded to them. But I'm not in there.
Wow.
Can I ask a question?
But if you checked, if you checked it twice a day only, what would putting urgent on an email do?
It would bump it up to my preferred inbox. So you know how we have like these, so important, it would come up as important.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which
just because the word urgent is in it?
Yeah. See, this is, I wouldn't normally not
This is high level stuff, by the way. But I also want to ask you, said,
urgent, see, please acknowledge receipt of this email.
Wow.
It bumps it up. Anyway.
You said thank you for your understanding at the end of that. Do you think your dad would tell you to take that out?
We can ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just ping him right now.
Because, like, who cares if they understand or not? It's your email.
I know. I just wanted to soften it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I didn't want people to think I was a bitch. Yeah. Or, like, you know, I feel like, you know, Tim Ferriss could do that and it'd be okay, you know? Or, like, Casey Neistat or somebody who's hip.
Right.
Gets a lot of email, you know, very...
And then it's like a streamlined lifestyle choice.
Exactly. Yes.
It would be like if a person who probably also eats Soylent answered email like that, there would be a lot of think pieces about how efficient it is.
But me, total cunt.
Yep. No, I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying like, yes, that is how the world views it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
That's
okay.
Crazy.
Your brain did a total double take there, Nicole. You had like a sort of a small seizure.
Because there was a part of it that was so excited we finally got it on the podcast. That does not get rebleeped under any circumstances. Also, I was going to say something, but I'll get in trouble. I'm just the only strongly negative review the podcast has had was a listener who was horrified by the foul-mouthed female host.
That's you.
Yes, that's me. And then also at the end of the review said they expected more from Gimlet. Which is my favorite part of that review. It's like, you should expect more from Giblet. We're produced by Audio Boom. Oh, I love that review so much.
That's
I want to frame it.
You should read it.
Oh, we should read it. Yeah, is that maybe baiting? They're not coming back. They
Why don't you read
like
the reviews? You should read the reviews of the podcast. On the
we should read the reviews of the podcast.
There's a great one on Strong Opinions Loosely Held on an episode about how women get judged for their voices in radio and on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
For UpTalk, meanwhile, we have this great mashup of men, Ira Glass included, doing UpTalk.
Yes.
I heard about this. I think This American Life had a thing about this at one point, too.
Oh, really?
About UpTalk? Maybe so.
About UpTalk?
No, about, well, what's UpTalk?
Like this? Everything goes a question?
Oh, no, it's about something different. No, okay. But yeah.
Okay.
No, a different comment about women's voice in radio.
Was it Vocal Fry?
Vocal Fry.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. And then
a tone by any other name.
Yes.
Yeah. Not as sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wait, so on that podcast, which was about that.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments afterwards. I mean, I can pull them up on iTunes, but they were like, God, the women's voices in this episode are horrible.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was a joke. I mean, I don't think so. You would know this. Like, does sarcasm come up in text? Can you, unless you know the sender, you can't really detect
If you know the
sarcasm.
Sender, you can't. And I think it has to be, honestly, that is why I really like emojis. Because it can.
The universal language.
Yes. Because it, in a way that like a symbol might not help, like an emoji, eye roll emoji, to me is how you punctuate sarcasm.
Or if you said the women's voices in this episode were horrible with a smiley face afterwards, that might imply you're
wink.
Kidding.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. To state the obvious there.
I'm just trying to pull it
I know
up
how
here.
To use emojis.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you actually do, I think.
Oh, thanks. Sent you a monocle.
You sent me a monocle, and I was like, that's great. Because I said, good looking out, and you sent me a monocle back.
That took me at least two minutes to find.
I don't know how to search this. I'm just going to be honest with you.
I mean, I honestly, 100%, you're not trying.
Oh,
You're in your library looking for reviews of the podcast. Go to store, right?
Well, store? Oh, it's in store.
Like, yeah, it's not going to be in your library, buddy.
Well, this isn't even my computer.
That's true. Oh, right. That's definitely true.
You know when you get a new computer, it's like going in somebody else's car. You're like, I don't know where anything is.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody else's phone. It's like you become 75 again.
Again.
Yeah, again. Okay. Listened to two episodes. Hated it. Really over cocky in their opinions. Many of which aren't. Very well thought out and justified with shaky logic.
Are you kidding me? Isn't that not the podcast is called Strong Opinions Loosely Held.
That is correct.
Okay, great.
See, if there's an emoji there, it would have been great, right? A smiley emoji.
It would
emoji.
Have been. But to this commenter's, to Starseer, whose review was one star, awful, you know, I don't, him or her, I don't want to fault them for the non-emoji use because I'm not sure you can use emoji in a rating.
Ah, good point.
I'm not sure they read.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
All right, so generally annoying. They spend the whole episode talking about why the Kardashians are great, which should tell you a lot right there. There are much better podcasts out there. By that, I mean almost all of them.
Jesus.
Now, not to be defensive here, but the episode on the Kardashians was actually highly critical. Of the
really?
Well, yeah, the whole podcast is about how celebrities and pop culture allow us to talk about really tough topics like race, class, and gender. And Kardashians allow us to talk about like cultural appropriation and like things that are very problematic with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we just didn't do a good job.
That's
really laying out that
there's
argument.
No way that's the case.
Well, here's the one I was actually wanting to reference. This is Ginger Honey. Ginger and Honey. N. Not and.
Okay.
N. Wrong, wrong, wrong. One star. Vocal fry and talking.
Up talking.
Oh, thank you. Vocal fry and up talking are super annoying in and of itself as a sound, and I am subjected to it. It's a phenomenon that appeared fairly recently, possibly coincidental to the rise of the Kardashians! Exclamation point, question mark. Is it a glaring affectation? Oh, sorry. It is a glaring affectation, and the fur about it has nothing to do with misogyny or sexism. There are annoying men's voices, too. Not just fleets of them that sound forced, cloned, and distracting. Please get over yourself, ladies, and examine why you have chosen to talk in this irritating way. Signed, a feminist woman who wants to listen to what you have to say, not how you say it.
What?
You know, it's ironic because the whole point of the episode was kind of her point.
Right.
Which was that men do it too.
Right.
And it is kind of like a sexist thing, so we disagree a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, it is irritating. But it's a way people soften things. Men,
yes,
too.
Yes.
I feel like she's on my team.
I think that she is, but for some reason she doesn't know it. And
yeah,
she's angry.
She didn't get a jersey in
I
time.
I feel like people, yes, who get really upset about this kind of thing just don't really like listening to like radio that much. You
I think
know
that's
what I
probably
mean?
Very true.
Like, maybe it's just not for you.
Yeah.
If you're getting that bothered by people's voices.
Yes.
Because voices can be a little bit annoying, but if you still like the content, you should be able to get past that.
Anyway, so what do we, what do you
We're going
to
move on to.
All right.
Parental alert.
Isn't it called parental units?
No, isn't it parental alert? No, it's not.
Yes,
why
it
did I call
is.
It parental alert?
I have no idea.
It can be that if you want.
No, it's
Hold
parental
on,
units.
It. No,
get
I
out
swear
here.
To God, it's parental
Nicole,
alert.
It's always been parental
do
units.
Do we have something that is alert? Do we
search
have?
Alert.
Search alert.
Yeah. Parental units.
Parental units is not a great name for a segment. Have we had this conversation before? I'm having deja vu.
We haven't, but you know what's even worse? Parental alert is much worse than parental units.
I don't think it is, because at least it's like there's action.
No, I'm not with you.
Ugh, well, we're renaming it.
No, we're not.
Yes, we're going to rename it. Not right now, but we're going to rename it.
Excuse me.
I'm going to come up with a really fun name before the next
All right.
episode.
We'll see.
Maybe Parent Trap. The Parent Trap.
No.
Wow.
Keep working on it.
So my dad and I share I'm too cheap to buy cable.
Mm.
I also identify with like the cord cutter movement.
Sure.
I just don't think like Verizon and those guys like are like, what are you paying for when you pay for cable TV? You know, I don't know. Commercials. So.
Fiberglass? I don't know.
A coaxial cable? So I share my dad's login for his home Vios account, which is cable TV. And this is an email. He organizes all of his passwords in a notebook. It's not searchable.
I love that.
Right.
You can't search for anything when it's like handwritten. So he constantly has to cross things out. It's essentially a bullet journal.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I know you love a bullet, which is why I bring it up.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I said, you know, I'm looking for the new login. We can't get into the account. And he goes, in my book, I have it as, quote, home BIOS account, end quote. Username, password. I've searched my email by keyword and manually in archive of things labeled ESK and Verizon, and I didn't find it. If you tell me the precise term or thing you need, I can call Verizon.
So is he saying he doesn't know what you're asking for? This is the best he can get you?
He's saying, I was so focused on reading it with,
yes,
like, intent.
You did a great job. You had a lot of intensity into it.
He's saying that he admits that when he writes things in a book manually, he can't find them.
Yeah, great. Yep.
Nor can he find things in his email.
Yes.
So exactly. What's the point of categorizing anything?
Yeah. The system of writing them down in a notebook, I think, is so great because I'm terrified of cyber hacking. However, if
cyber hacking, yes. Are all your
passwords though the yes. same word?
It doesn't matter. but then if anybody needed to like hack into his computer from his home desk, mm-hmm. like if he was broken into and then they decided to hack in to steal secrets,
mm-hmm.
he's made it very easy.
Right.
But that's not how most hacking happens.
It is on a movie that I just watched.
Oh, and yeah. What was that movie? Shout out to that movie.
A Christmas Prince on Netflix.
Gotcha.
It's called You've Got Mail.
Yeah. You've Got Mail is great. No hate for You've Got Mail. Another email from your dad.
Another email from my dad. Actually, this one is from my mom.
Oh.
The subject line is mouse. The body of the email is, it's not working. Can you fix next time you're here?
Oh, that is your, like, her actual mouse.
That is correct.
Mouse. I assumed that there was a mouse problem that wasn't being solved.
Computer.
Can you fix it?
That was her computer. I have, like, a bunch of those. Printer. Not working.
Stop.
Can you fix next time you're here?
When is next time you'll be there? Like, on any given, you know, how far away are you from being there?
I was in Brooklyn at the time. Now I've moved 15 minutes away from them in
gotcha.
New Jersey. So come full circle, really.
So you could be over
away. I could. I probably wouldn't. I haven't actually gone there since we've moved. But I could, yes.
Wait, definitely. Are you in the new house yet?
We are, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. How long have you been settled in there?
A week and a half.
Oh, wow. So new.
So new. This was my first commute today to work in the snow, which is your whole commute changes when you move.
Yeah. Not a huge snowstorm today, I wouldn't say, though.
We're talking in New Jersey, there was
dusting.
Snow.
Oh, okay.
I have pictures. It's on my Instagram story.
Oh, okay. You have a house with snow now.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
I use the hashtag substrugs for suburban struggles.
Oh, that might happen.
We'll see.
Yeah, it could happen. It could happen.
We're working on it.
Yep. New Jersey Transit or are you busing?
No, it's busing. New Jersey Transit. Yeah, it's a train. And I have a lot of anxiety around admitting that I've moved back to New Jersey and to New Jersey, period. It's not sexy. It's not a thing. But like people say, the area I moved to is labeled Park Slope West because so many people from Park Slope have moved there.
People love, I feel like there's places upstate that people are like, that's the Park Slope of upstate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people love filtering things through. It's the Park Slope of blank.
It's so true. It's so true. But I will say everyone we have met in a coffee shop or that we've met up with, either our friends have moved out there
mm-hmm.
or when we're in a coffee shop, we're like, wait, you have Dough Donuts here? Like,
whoa.
They're from, and they're like, yeah, of course. I mean, it's like, it is like Brooklyn or like we'll meet somebody who's like, yeah, we moved here from Park Slope.
Mm-hmm.
What's a dough donut?
A dough donut is like a giant donut.
Yeah.
That's like super fancy. They're probably like $10 each. And they have probably gold flakes on, edible gold.
Yes.
Nicole gave me an aggressive eye roll.
Did I really?
Yes.
Sorry. It's just like because you just moved.
Yeah. Well,
but they're like, if you go into a coffee shop that doesn't do their own donuts, they'll either have Underwest donuts, which is my personal preference, or they'll have like dough donuts.
Gotcha.
They're large. They're thick.
They're like
the
big yeast donuts.
Okay.
Yes. The upcharge on them is just insane.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Do I come off as like an angry lesbian on this show? I feel like I'm like anti-capitalist.
Hadn't crossed my mind.
Talking about emails.
Talking
I just want to make sure I'm positioned accurately.
You want to.
I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about the levels, sir. I don't want
to. No, to me, you just come off as right. So I'm not the person to answer that question.
Right audience. Correct audience. Anyway, let's get back to what you guys had planned.
Yeah, that's fair. Great. So excellent parental emails. I don't know why I really thought it was going to be about a regular mouse that you had to take care of.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Not. I just love the emails that like they want something to be fixed.
Yes.
And when they don't have access to email about email being fixed, it's a shit show. It's like a bunch of texts.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah. And then when the text breaks down, like, did you guys update your phones? Uh-huh. And like a lot of people's iMessage wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sending green texts. Why are my texts green?
No.
You know, are you guys on a family chat with your family?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They are not on Verizon. They're always green.
Oh.
My family's always green.
But aren't they, don't they
have
an iPhone?
No, they do. No, they don't have iPhones. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
They are on Verizon. They don't have iPhones. Sorry.
We all have iPhones. But why am I green? My grandma's I'm green. I don't know. Why am I green? My aunt, I'm green.
Terrible feeling.
It's just funny to me for a grandma to be concerned about that.
Well, because any little change.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened? Fair. What's wrong? It's not what I'm used to seeing. It's not, did I get hacked?
Yeah.
Cyber hacked.
Subtle cyber hack. Sub hack. I don't know. I tried to make it happen.
Is this, feel free to give me any notes.
We're keeping this in. No notes. That was me trying to figure out how to segue. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Because I can, like, if you want me to pull it back, I just want to deliver on what you guys need.
This is how we're going to keep it rolling.
No.
All right. Okay.
No.
You're like, this is great. You're like,
That's how I always do it.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a weird. There are weird gender dynamics at play in this podcast because when we have a woman guest, I am like in the zone, so thrilled. And if there's a man guest, I think it's fair to say by this point in almost every podcast, I'm calling you bullies and saying you're picking on me, right? It's happened a lot.
But I'm also, if I say, no, it's great, that's pretty enthusiastic for me.
Okay.
You're very mellow.
Yeah.
So you don't put a lot of exclamation points in emails is what you're saying?
No.
No.
Doesn't ask questions when he buys houses.
Yep.
Doesn't really express emotion.
Right.
Pretty standard man behavior.
Yeah.
Right.
It's toxic masculinity fair and square.
Yeah. When we say toxic masculinity, what we mean is low key reactions and not asking questions when you buy houses. That's what toxic masculinity is.
But don't you feel like, though, like men should also be able to add exclamation points in their emails if they feel like?
Yes.
Like, I also feel like feminism or like gender stuff would like liberate you guys.
No,
like,
in fairness, I do use them sometimes.
You do.
And I'm like, well, this feels kind of weird, but I'm doing it.
So it feels weird to you.
A little bit.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, well, is this a little like.
Too much?
Yeah. And you might need to soften this.
Oh, but by soften it, you mean go more masculine.
Harden it, yeah.
Yeah, harden it. I might need to harden this. Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, peace. Yeah, something like that.
Right.
To harden it.
Okay.
Do you feel like that constrains you? You want to move on. I'm still
on this.
I love this.
Let's break it in. Let's fix Matt.
No. We got more?
No, I'm just fascinated by your email etiquette because you feel like you need to harden it probably to be taken more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, I mean, not really be taken seriously. It just like sound tough, you know? Yeah.
Or sound chill.
Yeah, right. Mm. All of it at once.
Because I guess an exclamation point, which softens women, might be too intense for like the vibe you're going for.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's true. A lot, exclamation points are a lot in work emails or like, I'm going to meet up with someone I've never met. If they throw one at me, then I'll throw it back. If they like looking forward exclamation point, then I feel like I have free license to send one back.
Mimicry.
I'm not. Yes.
Like primates.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really have a lot of original thoughts. I just kind of like follow the behavior of the other primates and just kind of, okay, he's peeing in the corner. I can pee in the corner now. Like that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's sort of how I roll.
Yep.
We're so happy you're gender leaders of our
free
world. Thank God.
Thank God. Because you're all just following one another.
Yep.
Blindly.
That's me. Yep.
Into a corner.
But I'm a nice guy.
Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No, but that's fascinating. I mean, we're all bound by like these same social constructs of like, we just want to be liked. I hope you like me.
I know.
You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think about being liked a lot?
Oh, big time.
That's okay. Why I use the exclamation point.
Yeah, that's true. But I couldn't tell if it was just to be liked or to be seen as powerful.
No, just to be liked.
Okay.
Yeah.
But feared.
But yes, at the same time, feared.
Yes.
Or taken seriously.
Yeah.
Why don't we tell you how you feel?
I'm loving it.
It's helpful because he's not asking himself.
No, because I actually don't know. So
yeah, exactly.
This is super helpful.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of helpful, I don't know. It's time for, I'm going to reorganize a little bit. It's time for What's in the Drafts?
What's in the box?
Whoa, a change in the format order.
I know. I said that before I did it.
Okay.
I gave you a heads up that it was happening.
Yeah, it's just still bold. I like it.
So this is where we look through my draft.
Yes, we do. And we got a lot of drafts here.
Well, I had one pulled up before, but I lost it to look for the unsubs.
We want to see what the drafts, just what we're dealing with in drafts in general.
First
I don't need
all,
to see specific ones.
We're dealing with 582 drafts. That's a big number.
Yeah. I write a lot of emails and then don't send them just to get the feeling out.
Wow. And but then you save them?
No, they autosave in Gmail.
Do you think but I constantly am cleaning out my drafts.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Any unsent ones that we could send? Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's great.
Like, that can be very satisfying for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, anything out there that really should be sent?
You obviously don't put in the name when you're sending one of those venting emails, right?
No, that's correct. Dangerous. See, that's why they're all like no subject. I mean, I should send this.
Yeah, this should be sent. God,
I don't know that you should because you're responding to an email from February 22nd.
But, that's last year.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're saying, I mean, thank you, you're the best is the first line of this email.
That is correct.
Was supposed to be sent.
You're going to send this.
So
Jess Benninger is awesome. She wrote Bring It On and Bring It On Too. And I brought it on again.
I was just talking to a friend of mine who hadn't seen it. And I was like, you're going to love it. How have you not seen it?
So great. And yeah. She's been so helpful and just like, she's just a nice person. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So this email is about how to get on like those women in power lists.
Oh, nice.
But so I don't know if I want to send it though, because like it's from February and I'm pretty sure we missed the deadline.
You definitely
missed
the deadline.
Because that was February of 2016.
Have you had contact with her since then?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're good then. Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't you're good to send it? You don't
no,
need
I mean,
to send it. I'll send it.
Do you need both lines? No one believed that.
That was a decent sound, but yeah.
It was impressive, but it was not super believable.
You did a hand gesture.
Do you need the last line?
I did.
To try to sell it.
Like a witch.
Yeah.
You want me to take the last line out?
Yes.
I owe her a bunch of texts. So.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I can write that. Like, would love to connect. I know I owe you a bunch of texts.
In addition to this email.
But she also is on a podcast, which we were texting about. But then I lost contact with her during the house buying. Do you think that you like lost a lot of contact with people when you were buying your home because it was such a crazy process? There's so much going on.
That's a good question. No, I feel like a lot of people were asking. You know what I mean?
People
wanted updates, so maybe there was more contact. Now that I'm settled, I'm just not talking to anyone anymore.
Yeah, you also moved.
Yeah, that's it. Because once you're out of state, like you just don't really.
Especially New York.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
New Jersey doesn't count. You're basically still in New York.
I'm here right now.
Yeah. See?
But so are you. So.
But that's true. I'm also here.
Where do you live?
Queens.
So technically, you can't even talk. You don't live in New York either.
I think I do, though. I think it is in New York, though.
Touche. Okay. Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Most people consider Queens in New York.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't.
If you want to split hairs about it.
Yeah. I guess. You're right. No, you're right. I'm dumb. I don't. You're right. I'm stupid. I don't live in New York. Wait, so are we sending this or no?
We can send it.
We're already going to be making you send other emails, so.
Really?
Yeah, the roulette thing.
This trivia question's insane.
I haven't looked at it yet, and I can't fucking wait. I can't wait.
Can I send another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is taking forever, but like.
It's not.
I just don't want to break my relationship with people.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
I get that.
Okay. All right. So here, this is an interesting one, and I'll send this one. This is to my partner, and this is a breakdown, date by date, of someone tried to accuse us of not getting in our paperwork on time.
This is a breakdown.
This is house related, yeah, who said what when.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't think I was petty before, here's email proof of when we were asked for things and when we delivered them.
This is not petty. This is just having your shit together. None of this reads as petty to me.
Well, you know, I feel like sometimes.
I fucking love this.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe you and I should just do.
No.
You should sell houses.
Okay. Well, that I think is probably not. I don't even know where I live. So.
Because it's not New York.
Yes. Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I'm reading this. Did you spell this person's name wrong once, or are there two people with similar names?
That's how she spells her name.
No, but look at that.
Oh.
Is that a different person, or is that the same person?
I believe that's the same person, and you are correct. I spelled it incorrectly. Thank you.
It was not petty. It was organized. I want a cookie.
But there's this. There's a quote that I keep reminding myself of, because it's...
Preparing to write it down.
It says, don't lose your serenity over something you can't control. And I feel like...
Not gonna bother.
Wow. Okay. Whatever.
Which is because it's like that's understandable goal. It's so far that it's like, why am I going to... I'll write it down in a few years.
We'll get there one day. Anyway, exactly. I mean, I had no control over the process. Did you feel like you had no control over the home buying process?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, it was a lot of like waiting and hoping and finger crossing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. So you mean you don't have any dated lists of what you sent when and who didn't respond to you and why?
No, like we had very different processes.
Let it go.
Well, mine's kind of over. Yours seems like it's like there's still stuff that has to be resolved.
No, like, it's
this
over.
Is going to the
it's
courts.
Over.
This is going to the courts.
We're actually going to small claims court. No, it's over. It just lives within me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was so contentious.
There's like unsettled beef.
There is unsettled beef. I think like at the end of the day, you want to know that like a contract means something. And when parties sign a contract or when parties go in to a business agreement, you want everyone to feel good coming out of it like shit coming out of it. Cause then you know it was like a good compromise. But at the end of the day, like if everyone feels like they compromise on something and they feel a little iffy, but when you want to be on like good terms with them, you know, especially when it's like a home, you want them to come visit or whatever. And that is not how our process went, which is fine.
Do people really want the people who helped them buy their homes to come visit? Is that real?
The person whose home I bought showed up at my door the other day and was like, hey, thanks for sending me my mail, because she's been getting a ton of mail. She moved out of state. She's like, do you have any more? I was like, yes, I do. Here's a pile of your mail. And it was very cordial.
Oh, like the previous owner.
The previous owner.
I thought you meant like you want your attorney to come visit you in your new home.
My real estate agent came to my house and said, do you have any
of
my mail?
I really misunderstood that. I was really on a different page. I don't think that's you.
I think that was me.
I think that was me.
It was my fault, guys.
Why would it be Matt?
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, just to keep it in the family. Like my parents bought a home when they weren't married. They're still in that home. They got married, I think, a few years later, but it was very rare, I guess, in like the 80s to buy a home when you weren't married. But they were together for 10 years. They're still together. Not that that means anything. But they have...
You mean that doesn't make it more right that they did it?
Yeah. It's like it's neither here
it
nor there.
Are you common law married after 10 years together?
There's no such thing as common law.
Really?
Not in New York State.
Is that so?
Yep.
That's my Southern roots.
Yeah.
Common law.
Anyway, the people, there were only two buyers before them, and they come by the house and they're like, we would just love to see the home, what you've done with it. Cause it was an old home. It's like a 120-year-old home. And there's a book on the house. People kept all the original paperwork.
Oh, that's lovely.
So I thought, I mean, granted, our home isn't like that big or that, you know, 120 years old, but I just thought that that was like a thing. You want to keep the karma. Positive.
Every 120-year-old home was 20 years old at some point.
I'm going to write that down.
Right? Yeah. That's a quote you write down.
That's a mind-blowing
emoji.
I
don't.
I did fold a piece of paper, though.
Yeah. So it's time for chickens to come home to whatever. What is
it? No, it's things to come home to roost, is what you said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've been afraid to say chickens previously. You don't know why. Yes, you said on a recent episode, I don't know why I'm scared to say chickens come home to roost. You normally say it's time for things to come home to roost.
But I do say roost?
You do.
For some reason,
it's kind of
roost
like
seemed like...
mining for comedy.
Yes. For some reason, roost seemed like the problematic word. So I was going to say chickens to come home to whatever.
Well, you have completely flipped your logic.
I've changed a lot in the last month, I guess.
I guess so.
I'd say.
All right, go with it.
It's time for things to come home to whatever. What is wrong?
I thought you were going to say it's time for chickens to come home to whatever.
I know. And then I evolved during the conversation.
Right. Carry on.
Calm down. People probably seem like I'm overreacting for telling you to calm down, but you gave me some crazy eyes.
Well, the crazy eyes have been flying this episode. I'll also say things to come home to roost, I feel like, is a beloved catchphrase,
well,
and you're abandoning it.
Not enough because I didn't remember it.
You know what else is a good catchphrase, though? Comedy gold.
Comedy gold.
Thank you so much.
So it's the day of abandoning catchphrases.
It's the day of abandonment.
I would love to read this trivia question. Do you mind?
Yes, but should we first recap
on the
email?
Thank you.
Because we haven't really done a read of the email yet.
We can read the email. I've been thinking a lot about our experience working together, centered in the body of the email and underlined.
Mm-hmm.
First bullet point, I know you were just doing your job. Second bullet, but I felt, sub bullet, invisible, ignored, like an inconvenience, as though my emotions were out of control. Not a victim, my organization. proper bullet, like a line, like justified left. In conclusion, sub bullet, I feel the need to soften this email so that you don't think I'm a bitch and need to complain about this to your coworkers.
Oh, we never finished that email, did we? Or is that it?
I think we decided that that was finished. But okay. Do we want to add something to it?
Well, I want to say great reading of that. I think your reading really clarified the layout of it nicely.
It was very efficient.
Was I supposed to read the email?
Yes.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, you did a great job. You can talk now. You've been allowed to talk.
We need a subject line before we go to the trivia question.
Yeah. How about I'm on this podcast called Inbox and I was forced to send this email.
I'll allow it this one time. I think it would be too easy and out for a lot of the emails people have to send if they were allowed to say, I'm on this podcast.
No, we can change the subject line to forced, just forced to send this email.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should put forced in the subject line. I would argue.
All right, we're going to send.
I think it should be called duress. To send. No, why? No, there's a whole component before you have to send this.
Oh, sorry.
Go. All right, here we go.
Also, do you guys have a send later feature? Do you know about this, Boomerang?
I know about it, but I don't have it.
Because we can just schedule this thing out for after I leave and leave it up to fate.
Oh, for whether or not you remember to unsend it?
Oh, well, no, I was just going to schedule.
But how would that be leaving up to fate?
Wait, stop. Okay, no, I sort of knew. I knew about the delay. I don't know that I knew about send later.
Yeah, you can schedule it out. So we can say we can send this tomorrow at 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m.
But it also says you can unsend if there's no reply in a certain amount of days. Go next.
No, that's just boomerang it. So I'm going to
Oh, boy.
I just had to log in. Okay. So it'll send the email back to me if no one's replied to it in however many days.
What so is that, that how you meant leaving it up to fate? What did you mean by that? I'm really stuck on that phrase.
I just meant like we don't have to send it now. We can schedule it to send and it can send like when like in tomorrow morning and we
that's
can see what happens.
Means,
that's
I don't think.
Not what I'm pretty sure it's very not scheduling based is what fate is. But wait, what do you mean? What's boomerang? What do you mean it'll come back to you?
Well, the app is called Boomerang, but so it has a service
okay,
where you
Nicole,
can send.
A boomerang is an object you throw and it's designed to come back to you.
Thanks,
you
but that. The fuck does that mean when it comes to email?
Well, I thought we clarified that a few
times
already.
No, I don't understand.
Yeah. If no one replies, so see at the bottom here, it says in 2 days, if no reply, or if not clicked, or if not opened, or regardless of
or
any of those
if
things
not
happen.
Appreciated is one too.
If unheard, invisible, ignored, felt like an inconvenience, as though my emotions were out of control, not a victim, and my organization, this email will boomerang.
I can't believe that's
one. It'll come back. It'll come back to me in my inbox.
And it will not have been sent, therefore.
No, it will have been sent, but no one will have responded to it.
So what's the point of it coming back to you in your
inbox?
To
remind you so you can send that shit again and be like, you didn't respond to me.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
That's what I need to know. Oh, look, Matt. You sound fucking surprised, too.
What a revelation.
Like you didn't have a grasp on it the way that you thought you
that
did.
That was a pure bluff. I did not, actually. Yeah, not
you're,
at all.
You're a monster because you looked at me like I was a surprise and an idiot.
She felt invisible, ignored, like an inconvenience, and as though her emotions were out of control.
Yes, but not a victim.
Okay,
my organization.
Let's go to this trivia question to find out whether you're going to boomerang this or not.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Now, this is a... Now, Ben, to reset for everyone, Ben has had a run recently of trivia questions that have been a little easy for the guest. Nicole has lambasted him on a couple occasions.
I've softened it. Yeah.
So here's the question, okay? And this was amazing because it also has like an introduction to the question.
Yes,
so
it
here
does.
We go. In honor of the new year and Y2K, here is a question related to the rich American tradition of doomsday prepping.
Also, I do think when this airs, we will be in the new year. Is that true?
Yep.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Back to the top. Here we go. In honor of the new year and Y2K, here is a question related to the rich American tradition of doomsday prepping. Televangelist Jim Baker is back after a fall from grace in the 1980s after a sex scandal and 4-year stint in federal prison for timeshare fraud with a television ministry based in Missouri. Among the many manipulative products available is a 7-year supply of food with the quote, time of trouble, tasty pantry deluxe plus shocking prophecies bonus, end quote. How many tasty pantry deluxe plus buckets are included in this special offer? A, 50, B, 35, C, 28, D, 17. I mean, this is true game of chance here. There's no way any of us know this. Like, we don't know the answer, obviously. Ben, only Ben knows. Ben is the only person in the world who knows this answer.
The preamble with the sex scandal and the stint in federal prison for timeshare fraud is fascinating.
It doesn't matter.
Here's what's incredible about these numbers that Ben has selected. So the first number, 50, that's an even number. You would think that that would be like.
Did you go
included.
To like that SAT prep class?
No, I did not.
Where it's like always the largest number. Oh, we break down.
There's no way that the answer on every SAT question is the largest number.
That's one of the tactics they get.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that it's always the largest number?
Well, I misquoted that. And Princeton Review is going to come at me.
It would also be so bananas. Like, that's the easiest hack in the world.
If you're listening to this and you're prepping for the SAT, don't go with that because it doesn't sound confirmed.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You should be prepping for doomsday. Back to the question. So 50 is like a nice round number. Mm-hmm. This is me appreciating Ben's intelligence again.
Okay.
50 is a nice round number. It would be plausible that that would be the amount of buckets included.
Absolutely.
Which is why Princeton Review says that's one of the tactics.
Oh, interesting.
She's Googling the number Princeton
17.
Review right now.
The number 17 ends in a 7. And that feels like, they might use 17 because it ends in a 7.
You mean because it's a 7-year supply?
It's a
7-year
supply. And also, 7 is a magic number in the Bible or whatever. It's a significant number in the Bible.
Okay, I'm with you.
But then 35 and 28, I think.
Are multiples of 7.
They are, right? Okay, good. That was built into my thing, but then I didn't really check it that hard. So these are great. Each one is a justifiable answer. I don't know that there's necessarily one that we could discount.
No, I don't think so.
I took a Princeton Review class. I think I can deal with a multiple choice question here. Let's see.
Great.
So there were manipulative, what are the key words in this, right? The preamble doesn't matter. We've already acknowledged that, right?
It's a reach in honor of Y2K. Sorry, Ben.
McCall couldn't resist.
What does in honor of Y2K mean?
People thought the world was going to end.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Sure.
It was a new year, right?
Yes.
99 to 2000.
Yes.
And this is coming out around the new year.
So
I love the intro to this question. It's my favorite part by far.
I was teeing it up.
Yeah.
How many days are in January?
31.
Why?
I thought 28 was an obvious one. One for every day of January.
But it's a 7-year supply.
Oh, I missed it. See, this is why we break down the question. Okay.
Let's break down question.
Among the manipulative products available, so we know that there's like a unknown X, is a 7-year supply of food. I don't know.
Time of Trouble Tasting Pantry Deluxe. But I think that's the way to go.
It's basically what it is how many buckets do you think are included in the Time of Trouble Tasty Pantry Deluxe Plus Shocking Prophecies bonus?
That
you can order from this Doomsday Prepper website.
How
many buckets? Tasty Pantry Deluxe Plus Prophecies. What? It's a mouthful.
It really is.
Yeah. We could streamline that.
And it's a bonus. So does that mean that like it comes in addition to?
No, I think the prophecies are a bonus.
Oh, the prophecies are the...
Yeah, so if you order this meal package, this is like you get prophecies as a bonus.
How many buckets? It's a bucket of prophecies?
No. The bucket has food, I think.
Yeah.
And then in addition, you're going to get bonus. So I'm assuming the when you order this package, the Time of Trouble Tasty Pantry Deluxe Plus, you get like some packets of food and then also some buckets of food. How many buckets do we think that you get in this 7-year supply?
Hold on. So you think the food is called... Time of Trouble, Tasty Pantry, Deluxe Plus.
No, I don't.
Plus, Shocking Prophecy. Yeah,
okay. That is absolutely what it is.
That's important.
Yeah, no, I was using plus wrong.
Okay. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Great. So what's funny is like in my head, I was like, I shouldn't have said plus. Oh, let it go. Don't acknowledge it. And then those are the ones that they fucking come for you about.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 35.
That's where I was leaning too. Yeah. Nicole, how do you feel about that?
I think they're all equally likely, so I think 35 is great. The only one I'd say it's probably not is 50.
All right, so 35.
35. Final answer. How many?
Wait. 50. We get
50.
You get 3 guesses.
You get 3 guesses.
Oh, it's 50.
Now you really got to dig in here.
All right.
Get one more. If you're wrong on this one, like we're sending this.
All right. So 17?
No.
All right. 28. All right. Okay.
Well, Ben is back. Ben is back.
Ben, you did a really good job. You did a really, really good job.
And you have, Elisa, you did.
So, do
did
I
a
have to
job.
Send it? Do I
yes,
send the email?
You have to send the email.
All right. I'll just have to do like a lot of follow up after
yes,
this.
Yes, you will. Or none.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm going to send.
Yes.
Yay.
That's a fun one. It's low stakes because you're not necessarily going to have a working relationship with these people anymore.
Yeah.
They're not coming over, though.
Right. No, they're not coming over.
Maybe they'll come over to talk about it.
Dear God, I hope not. Anyway, well, it doesn't matter. Whatever. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Feels like the air went out of the room after we sent that email.
Yeah. Usually it's a little bit triumphant.
I mean,
this one was just.
Well, it felt a little vulnerable.
Yeah. No, but that's not bad. That's one way that women make themselves likable is to be vulnerable. But also, if you're too vulnerable.
Yeah, then it's like, head case.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you guys want to talk about now?